We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
From the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 13th day of November, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Scott Stewart of Stewart Peterson Group out of West Bend, Indiana, about the agricultural markets. Dave Dickey will be here with all the agricultural news for the day. And then later in the program, Don Rapsell of Valent will be here to talk about fall burn down and winter annuals. So stay with us for this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
I'm Tom Rogers, and back in the Urbana studios with a word on what happened in the markets today. In fact, not much happened as far as up or down movements in the wheat pit. The corn finished down in the 3 to 3.75 cent range, but the soybeans had an up day with the nearby contract jumping up 18.5 cents, getting a little bit closer to that $10 mark. The December wheat contract had a settlement today at 5.35 in Kansas City, down a quarter cent. March down a penny and a quarter at 5.50 and a quarter, but the wheat in Chicago was unchanged at the end of trade. 5.31 and three quarters, the settlement price there. The March wheat at 5.52 and a quarter. May wheat on the Merck Exchange at 5.65 and a quarter, up a quarter cent. December corn finished the day at 390.5, down 3.5 cents. The March at 405.75, down 3.5 cents. And May corn finished down 3.75 at 415.5. The July contract 423.75, down 4 cents. The soybeans, the November contract settled at 982.25 cents, up 18.5 cents. January up 18 at 990, and the March opened or closed up 16.75 cents at 995.75. Soybean meal for December settled at 301 even, up 11.90 on the day, but it was an unchanged settlement on the December bean oil contract at 38.37. Quick look at the Merck on the livestock. December live cattle finished at 82.85, down 80. November feeders, 92.95, down 37.5. And lean hogs for December closed at 54.45, down 115 on the day. Looking at the outside markets, the energy stocks had the December crude oil contract down 2.47 an ounce at last tick, 76.81, a big slide on the crude oil market today. RBOB gasoline also is down in the five and one tenth at 194.1. The U.S. dollar index is up 43, almost 44, at 75.60. The CRB index is at 269.21, down 4.25 cents. And the Dow Industrial Average at last word was down about 77 points at 10,214. The silver contract for December was down 27 cents at 17.26, and the gold for December settled at $1,106.60, down $8 on the day. The weather forecast from AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser calls for sunshine for the rest of the afternoon. Decent harvest weather through the first part of this weekend, though we do have in east central Illinois some clouds moving in toward daybreak on Sunday, and they could produce some showers by then. The low tonight, partly cloudy, 34 degrees in the Champaign-Urbana area with southeast winds at 7 to 14 miles an hour. For tomorrow, mostly sunny in east central Illinois, the high 64, southeast to south winds at 8 16 miles an hour. Partly to mostly cloudy tomorrow night, the low 43. Partly sunny on Saturday with a high of 62, but clouds will be filtering in through the day in other parts of Illinois. Partly sunny and 62, but chance of showers toward daybreak on Sunday, as mentioned, a mostly cloudy Saturday night and a low of 45 degrees. This is the closing market report, a Sunday forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser calling for a high temperature of around 55 degrees, but we do have a chance of showers.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. Stuart Peterson is one of our normal set of analysts. Scott Stewart is here this afternoon, never been on the air with us, but today he's going to be our analyst to take a look at the marketplace. Good afternoon to you, Scott. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
First, give me your broad perspective of the marketplace at this point, late in the year, harvest progressing nicely, but still a lot of crop to get out of the field.
Yeah, there is a lot of crop left in the field. I mean, you know, probably as of today, we're half done on corn and maybe 75% harvested on beans. And the farmers are frustrated. The corn's been wet. There's some mold out there, and the market's been. The good news is the market's been going up and responding to it. I mean, we've had record strong basis levels going into harvest. Prices have been going up because of the late harvest and because of the inflow of money into the commodities. And so, for right now, at least, you know, the farmers are struggling. They're going to spend some money drying corn down, but at least they're going to be able to sell the corn at a pretty decent price.
They'll get to sell the corn at a decent price historically. I don't know whether they would think decent price for the input cost that they have at this point. So they have to really think about marketing in terms of total income per acre a lot of the time rather than in just price in bushel. Do you have a tough time getting producers to think about that?
Yeah, I agree completely with what you're saying, and I really believe that the focus has to shift not only from total income per acre and looking for a high average price on their entire crop, but really maximizing the opportunities and at the same time minimizing risks. I mean, there's always too much focus, in my opinion, on where the market's going and not enough focus on what they should do. It's great when the market's going up, but more important, you should have a plan of what are you going to do if it turns down. And always be prepared and have a strategy in place of how you're going to react to whatever scenario unfolds. And that's where we put most of our focus is on that scenario planning and laying out structured strategies. So no matter what happens, we're prepared for it because you just never know where things are going to go.
Do you have unpriced corn in your strategies at this point, and how do you deal with that?
Yeah, and actually with the way the market's going up, unpriced corn is wonderful because it gets to be worth more every day. But, you know, if we feel like you really need to have some trigger points beneath the market at this point that if it starts turning down, you get sold. Most farmers can make decent money at these price levels, but it wouldn't, you know, from here, corn could drop a dollar a bushel easily. I mean, we're still looking at a big crop. I mean, carryover supplies in the most recent USDA reports have been trickling down a little bit, which is supportive and positive to the overall outlook, but we still have a lot of crop, and you know, we could take a dollar off pretty easily, and that would put, you know, prices down to levels that for a lot of guys that would hurt.
If you're worried, well, let me back up just a second because you talked about a dollar on the downside. The marketplace has been, I don't know whether I call it struggling higher, but moving higher despite the harvest that is ensuing in the past couple of weeks. Is there much upside potential to the marketplace, in your opinion?
Well, I tend not to get optimistic very easily, so but the trend is clearly higher. And, you know, we do have declining supply outlook from the USDA. That's supportive. We've got a weakening U.S. dollar. That's supportive. You know, there's very strong underlying demand. I mean, we're producing a really big crop, but, you know, the forecasts are we're going to use, you know, the majority of it. And so, you know, overall, there's a lot of good, strong underlying fundamentals. And we've got this massive inflow of outside money flowing into commodities because the outlook for inflation is driving that investment. And so all those things are coming together to drive things up. So, you know, at the rate we're going and the momentum we're going, and when you look at how cash-driven the corn complex has been lately with the strong basis and things, you know, another 50 cents up wouldn't be a surprise at all on corn. I mean, more than that, you know, every dime past that probably geometrically gets less likely to happen. But, you know, the first 30 to 50 cents up from here, that's still pretty easily within reach. I wouldn't rule out a dollar rally, but I think that's less likely, quite a bit less likely.
So let's manage risk at this point and see how Stuart Peterson is thinking about managing risk. And oftentimes I hear the folks at Stuart Peterson discuss input cost along with pricing their crop. Apparently you believe inflation is in the works, so maybe you can tell me about managing the risk of input costs at this point and pair that with, and I don't know whether it'll be a moving target on the bottom side of marketing the crop and setting those, we're going to make a sale here if it drops to this point, numbers.
I think inflation is going to be a really big problem for farmers, you know, looking out 10, 15 years. You know, energy prices will go back up 3, 4, 5, 6-fold from where they're at, which means fertilizer is going to go up. You know, all the chemical inputs are going to go up. In the next year or two, I don't see it as being as big of a problem. I think that basically the president's going to want to get reelected, and they need to keep stimulating the economy. So, you know, the Fed funds rate's going to stay at like zero. And so really, for the next 2 years, my belief is that the interest rates are going to stay relatively low, relatively flat, and inflation isn't going to kick in that much. But I do believe after that, you know, we're just printing money and just burying ourselves in deficits. And the thing that's going to really come into the forefront after the first of the year is tax revenues are probably going to be down 40%, maybe 50 or more percent for the federal government than they were in the past because nobody's making any money. I mean, farmers have had a good year this last year, but they're about the only people in the whole country that have had a good year. And so the federal tax revenues are there. I don't think it's an outrageous forecast at all to expect at least a 40% decline in the income for the government. And so that means big, big deficits down the road. And you combine that with all the stimulus money and everything else, and it's going to really be hard not to be extremely inflationary long term.
Okay, so over the long term, they'll have to deal more with managing the input costs, but not so much worried about it for the coming crop year. You did mention that there are places that you'd like them to have themselves set up to cover the crop on the way down if the marketplace were to fold. Where are those?
Yeah, you know, it kind of depends on what the situation the farmer's in, how aggressive they want to be. But, you know, at these kind of price levels, every, you know, maybe 20 cents below where the market is now, I would start to trigger to get some sold. And, you know, every dime it keeps going down just keeps selling, selling, selling. And a lot of times it's hard for farmers to do that because they look back and they wish they'd sold at a higher price. And, but boy, you know, for something, corn looks really good when it's down at three. And it doesn't really matter as much where they do it. It's just they've got to have the discipline to pull the trigger to get things sold. And not only this year's crop, but next year's crop. I mean, you know, depending on how crops shape up in 2010, we may see the best prices, you know, for next year's crop at harvest of this year.
Soy complex now. The Argentine and Brazilian soybean crop is in the ground and growing. From all accounts, it looks to be a big one, at least in terms of total production area. Still have a lot of the growing season going. But more than half of the soybeans that get moved around the world and grown around the world are in South America, the other half mostly in North America. How do producers go about marketing that crop? generally speaking, the marketplace has not had a carry in it and said, just sell it across the scale.
Yeah, I think it's very much the same as corn. The trend is up, the momentum's up, everything looks bullish for the moment. And, I'd ride it as long as it wants to keep going. But I'd have a kind of a hair trigger on it to get sold as soon as the market starts to falter. And if it starts to falter, just, keep selling and selling and selling and sell everything you possibly can. If you get more sold than you want to be, if a bull market redevelops, you just have to have a buyback strategy in place. If the market starts making new highs again down the road, buy back some call options or something. But as long as it doesn't make the new highs, I'd sell the farm and get it done. I do think that farmers going into 2010 have to be a little bit prepared for some, we do scenario planning as a real cornerstone of our marketing decision making, and we look at the what ifs, and we want to be prepared for all of the what if possibilities. And looking at it in 2010, if you look at this year, we had one of the coolest summers on record, and we have now had one of the wettest falls on record. What typically happens? Everything goes back to the mean eventually. So we could easily stop raining this fall and have the driest winter on history, the driest spring on history, and have the hottest summer on history next summer. And all of a sudden you've got, $12 corn and $30 soybeans by the 4th of July next year. I'm not predicting that that's highly likely to happen, but we've gone over 20 years without a drought. And a lot of the droughts in the past were because of high heat. It wasn't even because of dry weather so much. We haven't, we need to go back towards the mean at some point, which means we have to have some hot weather. And it only takes a few weeks of those 100-degree plus temperatures to get the market pretty revved up. So I think people have to be, at least keep that in the back of their mind that that's a possibility.
Our listeners, of course, are familiar with Jackie Vakes and the Stuart Peterson Group and the brokerage firm and the side of that side of your business. They may not be as familiar with Market 360, which is a secondary side of the business, one that you put in place in the last 2 to 3 years. Can you tell me about it?
Yeah, Market 360 has actually been around for about 5 to 7 years now, and it is our consulting side of our business. It's fee-based. It's a nickel a bushel, and for that, we basically work with the farmer and help them decide what to sell, when to sell, how to sell it, how much to sell, and it's really more of a one-on-one consulting service where, for the flat fee, we take care of their marketing, but it's a marketing partnership. We're there to really hold their hand and help them get it done.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Scott Stewart is with Stewart Peterson Group. He's out of West Bend, Wisconsin. I'm Todd Gleason at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is public radio for the farming world.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, the Food and Drug Administration is looking to increase the speed and accuracy with which federal agencies administer their traceability systems to combat outbreaks of foodborne illnesses, and it will hold 2 days of joint public meetings with USDA's Food Safety and Inspection Service next month to discuss ways to achieve the goal. FDA says the meeting will look at gaps in current product tracing methods, the core elements of an effective structure and mechanisms to boost traceability systems both in the short and long term. FDA and FSIS share responsibility for the safety of U.S. food supply, with each agency being charged with investigating foodborne illnesses, outbreaks, and other foodborne risks associated with the products they regulate. Federal agencies are under increasing scrutiny and pressure from members of Congress to tighten their oversight of food inspections. The Environmental Protection Agency is moving to overturn a number of air pollution rules instituted during the George W. Bush administration, an action that will result in the recall of an almost unprecedented number of air quality administration regulations. FDA has spent much of its first year under the Obama administration determining whether to defend regulations that were challenged in court or deciding on its own to rework regulations that senior EPA officials deem inadequate. The rules being reconsidered by EPA include air quality standards for fine particles and ozone, a review that could lead to new standards that would push additional countries into non-attainment status and force them to impose new controls on cars, smelters, steel mills, power plants, and other industrial facilities. Shares of Smithfield Foods charged to their highest level in more than a year yesterday, stroked by upbeat analyst comments and a rising number of bankruptcy filings among rival hog producers that should help cut oversupply. Officials at Deutsche Bank have upgraded Smithfield to buy from hold and lifted price targets to $20, up from $12 previously. Smithfield, the world's largest pig producer, has been cutting production and closing plants to become profitable again. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. We're both at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. Don Repsol, Field Market Development Specialist for Valent, is with us this afternoon to talk about burn down. Don, this is a problem that producers will get into in the next couple of weeks because they're going to be looking out at fields that are done but without time to do any fall field work, and they're going to have to do some burn down.
That is correct, Todd. The Valent portfolio is very good when it comes to burn down opportunities. We have Valor and Valor XLT, which both have long-lasting residual and that will help take care of those weeds that you're going to see out there. So that way you can come in the spring and have a nice, clean seed bed to get started.
So your expectation is that they need to get in yet this fall or early winter, as the case may be, and do burn down? And will does it matter very much that, you know, we may have a frost, we freeze? What kinds of problems do we face?
So winter annuals are the predominant problem during the winter. And so what we're looking at is putting these products out before we get some big actively growing weeds out there in the fall that over winter. We're looking at applications right now is a very good time. Preferably above 50 degrees would be the timely application. We're seeing these applications in tank mix of Valor, Valor XLT mixed with glyphosate and with 240 just for the added burn down and residual. Pick up some weeds such as dandelions.
If they don't happen to get that done this fall, they don't get fall tillage done as well, when they come back next spring, what can they use for burn down? Same kinds of products?
Same products. We also can expand the portfolio. Gangster is another product that Valent has that we like to see preferably applied in the spring. And the active ingredient in Gangster is going to, if you have giant ragweed out there in your field as a perennial problem, Gangster is going to be the product to use on your field.
Is that a new product?
It is not a new product. It is an old product. It's a combination of Valor, essentially, and First Rate, and farmers should be very aware of First Rate as the number one product for giant ragweed control.
Dawn, thanks so much. Dawn Repsol is the Field Market Development at Valent, and she joins us here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. Talks of a strike by graduate workers loomed over two University of Illinois campuses today. The rallying by members of the Graduate Employees Organization started this morning in Springfield to coincide with the U of I trustees meeting there, and it resumed at the Urbana Campus Quad over the noon hour. About 400 members marched from there to the Swallowed Administration Building. A GEO strike committee could decide on a work stoppage at any time over wages and no guarantees of tuition waivers, but co-president Carolyn Napo says she's encouraged the university has agreed to another bargaining session slated for Saturday afternoon on campus. U of I spokeswoman Robin Kaler says administrators remain hopeful an agreement can be reached under tight financial constraints. A state police report on the October shooting death of 15-year-old Kawan Carrington is now in the hands of the Champaign County State's Attorney's Office. But Julia Reed says she still has to read through it and doesn't know how long it will take before the review is completed. She says it contains hundreds of pages and several computer disks, and Reed says her office won't release details in the meantime. A Champaign police officer, now on administrative leave, shot and killed Carrington as he and another teen were attempting to get into a family friend's house on Vine Street October 9th. The other teen was in court this morning. He's accused of aggravated resisting a peace officer. The body of a 21-year-old Illinois soldier killed in last week's shooting at Fort Hood, Texas, has arrived back in his hometown. The body of Michael Pearson of Bolingbrook arrived today at Midway Airport. A long motorcade escorted his hearse from the National Guard Armory at the airport to a Joliet funeral home. The procession went through Bolingbrook, driving by the high school Pearson attended. He graduated in 2006. Funeral services will be held Saturday in Elwood. He is one of 13 people killed at Fort Hood November 5th. Another Illinois soldier, 21-year-old Francesca Velez of Chicago, also was killed. Indiana Senate Republicans want to make changes in the way legislative district maps are drawn to lessen political favors used in redistricting. They plan to introduce a bill in the upcoming session that would require lawmakers who draw up new maps in 2011 to use guidelines that would try to keep districts compact and avoid dividing communities, neighborhoods, and precincts. They also say they want to create a two-year study committee that could ultimately lead to a constitutional amendment. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Learned Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Learned Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City. On hand with us here in the great state of Missouri, as opposed to Cheyenne, Wyoming, where we normally would talk to Don Day by telephone, is Don Day in person. Thanks for coming out to Kansas City and seeing all the farm broadcasters, Don, and for being with us this afternoon.
Great to be here, Todd. Good to see you in the flesh as well.
Well, in the flesh. Well, let's flesh some other things out. How about the weather instead? Producers are going to want to put the final run in next week to finish off. They'll probably finish beans for sure, but to finish corn off too in the next couple of weeks if they can get good enough dry, wet, warm weather with maybe a little wind to keep moistures down. Is that going to be possible?
Well, a little bit of good news and bad news. Last time we talked about a pretty good stretch of weather coming on up. The good news is we are expecting some good weather here over the next week or two. There's going to be some periods where we're going to have warmer, drier weather, and as you mentioned, even a little bit of wind. But looking at the new stuff this morning, Todd, there are some indications that the weather pattern is going to get a little bit more active than we thought earlier this week. We're going to have a system come out of the western plain states Sunday night into Monday and Tuesday that will bring a little bit of precipitation, not a lot, but we will see some cooler weather. It looks like the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, eastern Nebraska are going to see some precipitation with this system. This system coming in really wasn't even seen on our charts a few days ago. Now, after that, I see 5-6 days of good weather. After that, as we get closer to the Thanksgiving period, I am expecting a colder, more unsettled weather pattern. And that is a bit of a departure from what we discussed before.
It would be nice if nighttime lows were not about the same as the dew point, so we didn't have moisture. Is that going to be the case?
Well, with the air getting a little cooler and drier behind a couple of these storms, I think we will get some help there. I do think the higher humidity air, though, at least for the rest of this week, is still going to be with us.
Tell me about South America. Have you taken a look at the weather there?
I have. Does look like South America's weather pretty good. Precipitation best in Brazil. Argentina still has some dry spots.
Any place else around the globe that we ought to be checking in on? China has finished up with their crop. Maybe the Australian wheat crop?
Australian wheat crop a little dry right now, and the precipitation chances the next 10 days not real good. We're probably starting to see the first signs of a little bit of an El Nino pattern developing and starting to affect Australia. That's something we'll have to watch through the course of the season.
Let's come back to the United States very quickly and take up the Great Plains areas in the southwest, the hard red winter wheat growing belt, including Kansas and some of those places. They're off to a late start. They really do need some decent weather to get the crop up, emerged, and then to get it back down so it's ready for winter. Will that happen?
I think so. It's been a bit of an up-and-down weather pattern for them, especially when it comes to temperature. And while there's been some big systems rolling across the western states, they've sort of hop-frogged or leapfrogged over that area. However, the pattern that I see developing for the second half of November does bode well for some moisture for the hard winter wheat.
Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. That's the Closing Mark Report for this Thursday afternoon. From the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, I'm Todd Gleason.